Go ahead and turn to the book of Proverbs. We are going to continue talking about discipline tonight. And just to give you, if you are looking at your cell phone to check the Ranger score, you might notice the time. And we're a little behind, and that's okay, because we've got 3 weeks that we're doing on discipline. And my intent tonight is that we're not going to have a whole ton of group time, because I wanted to give Mark and Katie a chance to give us an update and to pray for them. And so we'll have a little bit of group time at the end tonight. But next week, our final lesson on discipline will be shorter, and we'll have more time in groups. And that's kind of intentional, so that we can discuss big picture all that we've thought about related to discipline. So we will have a bit of time this week, but not as much as normal. And if you would like to have your cell phone somewhere where a little buzz goes off if a score, if somebody scores, don't feel bad. Don't feel like you got to sneak that in. But just pay attention, so don't be checking your phone all the time. Have it buzz you. All right, we're talking about discipline. We spent 3 weeks on instruction, and we used the example of from a quote from John Engle James of a gardener who can sow the choicest of seeds, but if we neglect to pluck weeds and prune overgrowth, we should not expect to see flowers grow or our garden flourish. And so instruction, our example, our teaching of our kids, is sowing seed. It's watering our yard. But discipline is pulling the weeds. And both are important. Both are necessary, and that's why in Ephesians 6:4, when Paul tells the church at Ephesus what the parents are to be about, he says that they're to bring their children up in the discipline, the training, and the instruction of the Lord, teaching. And so last week we started looking at discipline in a big picture sense. And we saw first off last week that our discipline needs to be shaped by the nature of our kids. That our kids are image bearers of God, so they deserve respect. We should not treat them in a way that really demeans them, and we need to discipline them in a way that is appropriate for that. We also saw that they will exist for all of eternity, and they're sinners. And that's why it's so vital that we discipline them. Proverbs 22:15, turn there as we start tonight. We looked at this verse last week, and it is so foundational for us to understand. It says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Doesn't take long to see that. Foolishness, not just childishness or silliness, but a heart of rebellion against God that rejects God's way and God's wisdom, is bound up in the heart of a child. But the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Flip over to Proverbs 23:13-14. This reminds us that our discipline, therefore, is a rescue mission. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. So our discipline is necessary because of the nature of our kids, because they need to be rescued from their sinful hearts. And then secondly, we saw last week that our discipline must be shaped by God's discipline of His children. You remember we looked at Deuteronomy 8 and the example of God and the nation of Israel in the wilderness, and how it said God was disciplining them as a father would his own children. And he did so through rewards and consequences, through his provision and withholding of them, through the circumstances that he put them in, through his instruction of them. And God does that to all of His children whom He loves. And so our discipline needs to be shaped by our understanding of God and how He relates to His children. And I think there's probably few things that would be as impactful for us as parents as really meditating on how does God relate to His kids. He's intentional to discipline, but He's consistent and patient. He's so faithful to discipline us, but not to overwhelm us. And that's our goal as parents. And then tonight we're going to look specifically at what the Bible teaches us as parents about our interaction with our kids. And so tonight we're going to see, thirdly, that our discipline must be shaped by the warnings and exhortations or instructions of Scripture. Because there are specific things that God says to parents about discipline. And we have to understand those and allow those to inform our thinking about discipline particularly in the midst of a world that is very confused on what this looks like. It's our world is very mixed up on what should discipline look like. And even if discipline is important, I was reminded of that this last weekend. I had the opportunity to go back to the church that I grew up in and to do some parent training there over the course of the weekend. And one, it made me very thankful for you all and for the opportunity that we have to study God's Word together and your openness and receptiveness to that and the foundation of God's Word that is laid here. But was reminded there just of how foreign the idea of authority and being an authority over your kids and therefore disciplining them is. As I interacted with individuals there, many of whom were just really, really struggling. And many of them, some not a part of that church, but who had been invited, just had had drawn their perspective of parenting from what the world says about discipline. And what the world says is important about how we shape our kids. And the Scriptures are very different in what they teach. And so we're going to see three things, two warnings and an exhortation of Scripture tonight. And then next week we will wrap up the idea of discipline and spend more time discussing it. So the first one that I want us to think about tonight, a warning that Scripture gives us, and it's very appropriate in a group like ours, is do not neglect discipline when your children are young. Do not neglect discipline when your children are young. And again, this goes counter to what is, in some ways, comes naturally as parents, or what our tendency is to do, because our kids start off pretty cute and pretty small, and so it's very easy to think, well, you know, the real challenges come. I'm really going to have to put my foot down when they are teenagers. But the Scripture exhorts us to think the other way around. And we're going to talk some more about this next week. But I want you to look at Proverbs 19:18. Proverbs 19, verse 18. And notice what it says in verse 18. It says, "Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death." So he's making a point, one, if you don't discipline, you are desiring your child's death. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it, on the importance of discipline. But notice it says, discipline your son while there is hope. What does that imply? If there is a time when there is hope, there is a time when there is what? No longer hope. That's a hard thing for us as parents to recognize, that there is a season where there is hope that our discipline will bear fruit, and there will come a time when there will be much less hope. Now, that's not to say that if you have older children and you haven't been faithful to do what God would instruct you, that it's hopeless. I don't think that's what this proverb is wanting to communicate. God is gracious. And he can take our family situations that we have not made the most of, and in fact, all of us don't make the most of those, and he can work in spite of us. But this proverb is a warning to say, do not neglect discipline. And I think, and we'll see in a little bit, although it doesn't specifically say while your child is young, I think it's implying that there's a time early on where there is hope that your discipline will bear fruit. And we need to be careful to realize that's a season for us. And again, we'll look more at this next week to see how our discipline should change over time. But the idea of authority and discipline should be very prominent when our children are young. Look at Proverbs 22:6, another verse that I think reinforces this idea. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now you may have this hanging in your kitchen, and that's okay. But most people take this verse as a promise. That, okay, if we do this right when they're a child, and most people think if we parent right when they're in our house, when they're old, they'll continue doing and being what we want them to be. Proverbs are not promises. They're not guarantees. They're generally true principles. And as you've probably heard Tom mention, this verse is it's a little bit more complicated than how we make it out in that promise format anyway. It's implying that the way that we train our children when they are young, there's actually three main ways that this is interpreted, and we're not going to get into what all of those are right now, but all of them relate how we shape our kids when they are young to the result that that has later on in their life. You see that at least, right? That there's a correlation between what we do when our kids are a child, when they are young, and how the impact that that has when they are old. And so the implication is there, again, is a season for discipline. And I would suggest that season is probably earlier than we are prone to think about it, because our kids are young and they're cute. And you know, even a four-year-old who's a terror, you still does cute things, but they're not so cute when they are 10 or 12 or 14. And so it's very easy as a parent to think, well, you know, these are not that significant of issues now. We'll deal with these later. And God says, no, discipline them when there is hope. Be careful to do this now. Even if you think about the example we looked at last night with God and His children and the nation of Israel, when did they spend 40 years in the wilderness? It was right away when they came out of their wilderness wandering, as God was preparing them for that time in the promised land. And so do not neglect discipline when your children are young. A second warning that we see in Scripture is to not neglect discipline, or not to discipline in a way that provokes your children to anger. You know, I love Ephesians 6:4. We won't turn there. You're familiar with it. Do not provoke your children. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And we said that's really all Paul says about parenting, is those things. And he says a similar thing in Colossians. And so on the positive side, he gives us very simple instructions. Discipline and instruct your kids as you bring them up. Do so in the Lord. But on the negative side, the one thing that he warns us against is provoking children to anger. And certainly we can do that in a lot of ways, but I think particularly in how we discipline, we can provoke children to anger. I want you to think about that. What are some ways that you or another parent, your parents, can use discipline, or think even, and don't just think in how we spank our kids, think discipline broader in how we shape their life in other ways as well, using our authority. What are ways you can do that would make your kids mad? Yeah, if you don't listen to them, absolutely. How do you like it when an authority doesn't listen to you? Not well. Now, does that mean you shouldn't submit to them? No. Does that mean your kids still need have an excuse not to respect you? No. But it's put them in a hard situation, isn't it? What else? What can provoke your kids to anger related to your authority or discipline? Corey? Absolutely. Inconsistencies. If they don't know what the response is going to be, if it varies from day to day or from hour to hour or minute to minute, that's frustrating for a child. Again, think about yourself as you relate to authorities. If you have inconsistency in how your boss responds to you, that's hard. It's easy to get frustrated by that. Again, not an excuse for kids to respond in a way that is wrong, but that's why God says, don't provoke your kids to anger. What else? Hypocrisy. Absolutely. If we're expecting things of our kids that we are not doing, I think related to that is using our authority in a selfish way. You know, again, if you go home on a Sunday afternoon, you like watching football, and there's a bunch of stuff that needs to be done around the house, and you lay there watching football while you command your kids on what to do. I mean, occasionally, okay. But if that's the pattern of life, and they see that, you know what? Dad loves being in charge because of what he can get out of this. Man, your kids are going to grow up and not be excited about your authority, are they? What else? Yeah, unreasonable expectations. I've struggled with this with Ashlyn, and Ashlyn is is about as lazy of a child as I have ever seen, to be honest, which was really helpful when she was young. She was the kind of kid who you would set her somewhere with a toy, and it wasn't that she was so inclined to stay there because you told her to. It was just, it's really hard to crawl across the room and mess with other things. And so I struggled with what's a reasonable expectation for this child who is lazy. I mean, most four-year-olds, you can tell them to, like, go put your shirt on. But Ashlyn, it's like, I can't do this. And you wrestle with what's appropriate and what's not. And there's complicated things to think through with that. But if I'm asking my two-year-old to go get in bed while I'm sitting on the couch watching the World Series, that's probably not a reasonable expectation, is it? And so if I'm constantly asking them to do things that are unreasonable for them, or putting them in situations that are unreasonable for them, then I'm likely going to provoke them to anger. Other things? Yeah. Responding to them in anger. Even when you need to respond to them for something that they've done, but responding in anger. We need to be so careful that we are not doing things consistently in our discipline that provokes our children to anger. And we need to recognize that if that's the one thing that Paul warned us about related to parenting, that we probably do it, right? We probably struggle with that because Paul's pretty good at hitting the nail on the head when it comes to his instruction for us, isn't it? He knows as parents we're going to have a hard time disciplining our kids because they're so cute and it's hard and instructing our kids. So he says, do that. And he knows most parents are going to provoke their kids to anger. And even if that's not the pattern of our life, all the time, we need to recognize that that's going to show up in our interactions with our kids. And we need to own up to it with them, being willing to say, and that's that hard balance that we talked about several weeks back, being willing to say, you know, you did not respond rightly to me, but I was wrong too. That tension of I'm an authority, but I'm willing to tell you that I was wrong. And to confess that to them. So be so careful not to neglect discipline when your kids are young. Now is the time for discipline. And be so careful not to discipline in a way that provokes your children to anger. There's a great chapter in the book, The Faithful Parent by Stuart Scott. I think I put that on your handout. And there's also a book called The Heart of Anger that really fleshes this out. If you just see that this is an issue, a real struggle for you, your kids are angry and bitter towards you, those are two great resources that you might consider looking at. A third exhortation of Scripture is we need to recognize that the rod is the primary means God has given you to discipline your children, and I would say especially when they're young. Again, we'll talk more about what this looks like over the span of a child's age next week. But recognize that the rod is the primary means God has given you to discipline your children, especially when they are young. Again, we looked last week, and we did this on purpose, at God's discipline of His children to see there's more to it than just consequences, than just the rod. But that's certainly the primary means that God gives us as parents for discipline. Not only. We saw that God uses a variety. I think good discipline over a long term with your kids takes creativity would be a word that I think would come to mind. But the primary means that God gives us is the use of the rod. Look at the book of Proverbs with me again. Proverbs, let's just flip through some verses together. I want you to see these. Proverbs 10:13. And we'll go in order in the book, not what's on your sheet. Proverbs 10:13 says, on the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. Proverbs 13:24, flip over there. Says, he who withholds his rod hates his son. He withholds discipline hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Look at Proverbs 22:15. We've already looked at that earlier tonight, but read it again. says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Proverbs 23:13 and 14. Again, we looked at those earlier. He says, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. And Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And even if you remember in Hebrews chapter 12, when it was talking about God's discipline, what phraseology did it use? It used things like, God scourges every son whom he loves. And it said, don't faint when you are disciplined, because there's a pain involved. And it uses that phraseology. Now, I don't think that all this is talking about is spanking children. I think the rod of discipline is a broader analogy for discipline. That discipline is painful, and it is a picture of a variety of those things. But I do think the fact that God uses this phrase, and that there's verses like Proverbs 23 that talk about striking him with the rod, that is clearly a reference to physical discipline, it does make it pretty clear to me that God gives us that as the primary means for discipline. Ted Tripp describes what is meant by this as the rod of discipline when he says, the rod is apparent in faith toward God, and that's important, and faithfulness towards his or her children, undertaking the responsibility of careful, timely, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment to underscore the importance of obeying God, thus rescuing the child from continuing in his foolishness until death. This is a hard topic, though, for us to think about, isn't it? It's a difficult thing, especially in our world. And so I want to just walk through some different questions related to this and try to help us think intentionally about this. First question here, why don't people use the rod of discipline? Help me out. What are some reasons why people may choose not to spank their children, especially in our world today? Yeah. Lazy. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Make your kids feel bad. Yeah. Yep. I hope it does. No. Yeah. Yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun. Absolutely. And I think we've seen that the idea that I love my kids too much is not a biblical one, because God clearly says, if you love your children, you will discipline them, even when it's hard. There's things like, you know, the idea of teaching them to hit. I think sometimes it does teach kids to hit if we do it poorly, doesn't it? If I'm hauling off on my kid without being patient and loving towards them, I am teaching them something that is wrong. Some think it's not effective. You know, they've tried it. Maybe it's not because of either how we're doing it or not being faithful over a long period of time, or just we need to continue obeying God even though we don't see the fruit of that. There are lots of excuses that we can make that some relate to how we're doing it. And let me just say that a lot of what our culture at least initially reacted against spanking are things that you and I should react against spanking. And that there was a time where physical punishment was borderline abuse in many cases. And that's not what we're talking about, okay? If you grew up in that setting, if that was what you received, was an angry father wailing on you, that's not what we're talking about, okay? And so we need to recognize, as we've talked about, kids are made in the image of God. This is to be a respectful way of disciplining them, but it is a form that God gives to us to use. Why this is opposed to other forms of discipline? You know, there's a sense in which Ted Tripp hit the nail on the head where he said, this is a parent doing this in faith. God says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of my child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. And so I say, okay. But I do think if we think about this, we can gain some understanding of the benefits of this. and of why this is a gracious way that God gives us to discipline our children. You know, if you think of what the options are for consequences, one is just to not do anything, and that's not appropriate. You know, other options, particularly when your children are young, are things like timeouts or withholding privileges from them. Those types of things are what we can most often use for discipline as opposed to this. And most of these, especially when your children are young, tend to drag out the time of bitterness. You know, if you send your child to go sit on a chair for 5 or 10 minutes or to go to their room for a period of time, especially when they are young, what are they thinking about during that time? Are they thinking about how wise mommy is to keep me from going down a path of foolishness, and I'm so grateful for mommy and her patient, loving discipline of me? No, they're thinking, I hate mom, aren't they? And I just want to do what I want to do. And so it's a time that can promote bitterness because of the length of time that it drags it out. Again, not all the time, but that's a concern with that. It's also discipline difficult to be restored to a right relationship when the discipline is still in effect. You know, if there's a consequence that's quite ongoing for particularly young children, again, it's hard to be restored in that. And some of those require even obedience to fulfill the discipline. If I say, go to your room, go sit, stay in your room for 10 minutes. They just didn't obey me, and that's why they're getting sent to their room. What do I do when they come walking out of their room after 3 minutes? Do I say, go back for 20 when you couldn't do it for that period of time? And so, as parents, we can get in a difficult situation of, I don't know what else I can do. Some kids don't care about those forms of discipline. They're happy to sit on their bed, happy to daydream, happy to do whatever it is that we would ask them to do. But spanking, by contrast, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it is intentionally quick in the sense not that it's a quick interaction, but it's done when it's done. And there's the opportunity for restoration immediately after that discipline. I think also it is painful for all children if you do it right. Now, your child may act like it doesn't get to them, and it may be an issue with how you're spanking them, and we'll talk a little more practically in just a second. But I have never had a child personally or talked to somebody who was disciplining and using the rod in an effective manner that the child really enjoyed it. And so because of those things, I think it's not God saying, I'm going to come up with the worst way that they could possibly discipline their kids, and I'm going to test them by saying, hey, parents, do this to your kids. And if you do that, I know you love me, because I know. I think God, as he does in all of his commands for us, is saying, this is for your good. This is the best way for you to discipline your children. Does that mean I can never use any other forms of discipline or consequences? No, God uses variety. You have that freedom as a parent. Particularly as your kids age, and we'll talk some more about that next week, or when you have particularly rebellious children. I was counseling one example of an older situation with a child in a boy, I think he was upper elementary or junior high, really rebellious towards his mother, and he would do things like throw things at his door, and when he was in his room, he loved the privacy of his room, but he would throw stuff at the door, take screwdrivers to his door and different things. And so it's appropriate to think outside the box in disciplining that, right? It's appropriate to say, you know what, if you love your privacy so much but cannot treat your mom respectfully, and you love destroying your door, which is not your property, we're just going to pop it off its hinges, and you don't need a door. And that will be the consequence for that. So that's creative outside-the-box thinking that's appropriate as our kids age. So I'm not saying this is all you ever do. I'm just saying I think it's the primary means that God has given. And I would encourage you to think before you threaten. Right? It's easy as a parent. In that moment, especially as your kids get older, man, if you do that one more time, and, you know, we say something and we think afterwards, wow, I really hope they don't do that one more time. But most of the time they will. So be careful. Think through it. It's better to say, if you do that one more time, I am going to seek counsel and think really creatively about how I'm going to respond in disciplining you. And I'm going to be careful to come up with something that you won't enjoy. Okay. If you do that enough times, they'll realize, whoa, that means they're like, I'm going to talk to Rocky, who's really creative on these things. So when should I use the rod? Is it when your kids do something silly? When they spill their milk? When they break something? No, it's when they don't obey. When they do not respond to your authority. Keep it simple. With young children, when they do not obey you, meaning I tell them to do something and they do not do it, or I tell them not to do something and they do it. When our kids are young, especially the young preschool age, I'm not spanking them for a lack of memory. I'm spanking them for a lack of obedience. And so we're happy to remind our children, you are still not to do that. And as they grow older, we broaden that. But as they do not obey, that's when we discipline. Keeps it simple. When they don't obey, if they are running through the house and they knock over our favorite vase, do I give them a spanking? Nope. But if they're running through the house and I say you need to stop running through the house and they keep running and they don't break a vase, they just keep running. I'm most likely to not be as upset as when the vase is broken, right? I'm most likely going to think, phew, glad they didn't break anything this time. But that's a bigger issue than when they were running through and broke it because they're not obeying. And get in the habit of teaching them to obey right away. You know, your kids will learn. They're so smart. They will learn when you mean it, won't they? They'll know that when mom says, time for dinner, please come here, that doesn't really mean it. They'll know that it's the second time when mom says, I said it's time for dinner, or they'll know it's the third time when mom raises her voice and says, get in here for dinner now, or whatever. They'll get trained on here's when they mean business, or it's when dad finally wakes up and says after mom's called four times, and dad says, now get in here, that's when they mean it. Okay, I'll come. Your kids are trained. Train them from the first time you call. Because you've got to train them at some point. Train them for instant, immediate obedience. Not that they will always do that faithfully, but don't get in the habit. There's a book titled, Don't Make Me Count to Three. Don't count to three. Get them to know that you are an authority right away. Again, this is not to say you can't help and train your children, especially when they're young. It's very helpful to walk your kids through what obedience looks like when they are young. I've got a two-year-old. If I say, time to come over to the dinner table, she may come, she may not sometimes, and I can test her on those things, but it's helpful if I say, Allie, it's time to come to the dinner table, and I grab her hand and I walk her over and I plop her in her seat. That's helping her to learn, here's what it means to obey. When Dad says, come to the dinner table, this is what I do. And so we can train our kids in that, not, again, expecting the world of them when they're young, but we want to expect obedience of them. So when should I not then use the rod of discipline? When we are angry or frustrated, even if they deserve it. If you are angry, do not discipline your children. For instances of childishness, just kids being kids, sometimes that bugs us a lot. It's okay. For accidents. Again, if my child thinks the worst thing they can do is spill their milk, something is wrong. Again, you'll pick up on, you can tell most of the time. When it's, I spilled my milk and, woo, cool, I can dump my milk, right? And again, am I going to discipline for my two-year-old dumping their milk? Probably not. And at that stage, I'm going to discipline when I see them dumping their milk and I say, do not dump your milk. And she looks at me and she goes like this again. That's the disobedience. So when I'm going in, as we'll see in just a minute, to discipline her, I'm not saying, you're getting a spanking because you dumped your milk. No, it's you're getting a spanking because you did not obey Daddy when I told you not to dump your milk. How should I do this? Let me give you just a suggested model as we wrap up, and we'll, again, spend much more time next week discussing this. First is to pick an instrument, something to use. Probably best not to use your hand. Some feel very strongly about this. Again, it does use the idea of a rod in Scripture. You want something that stings really bad without bruising, I would encourage you to test it on yourself. Your leg. Pop yourself. if it stings real bad, but you get over it in about 10 seconds, that's helpful. Something that is a little bit flexible is typically good. We've used those plastic paddle things that have little balls that go bing, 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 bing. Take that off, and those work pretty well. Pick a location, somewhere private. And I'm going to go through this pretty quick, and then we'll probably start with this next week and kind of walk through it some more. Point out the clear issue of disobedience. Okay, if there's not a clear issue of disobedience, I shouldn't be spanking them. Tell them how many spankings they're going to receive. That's not a blank, sorry. That's under point out the clear issue of disobedience. And wait for them to receive that spanking as a demonstration of their obedience. Our kids, you know, if they're going to get one spanking for their disobedience, if they don't let me spank them, they will get another spanking. Because part of obedience is, and part of wisdom is receiving discipline. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool rejects his father's discipline. And then fourth, administer the discipline. God designed toddlers for this. They have chubby little legs, back of their leg, rear area. That's the ideal place to inflict a stinging pain but not harm. If you're using the right instrument, it will sting. And if you're using the right instrument, you can probably, with most children, not all, go through even a pair of pants on the back of their leg. Or diapers are pretty padded, so you got to be careful with those. Again, your goal is to inflict pain but not injury. You don't want to hurt your child in a long-term way, but you want there to be pain. The child should cry. It hurts. Hold them. And fifth, converse with them. Talk with them. Use Scripture to encourage them. Very helpful to have memorized Scripture at that point because it's difficult to pull out your Bible and go through a sermon. And in that, we want to point them to the gospel. We'll talk a little more about that next week. This is an ideal time for directing them to the gospel because their sin is clear. Pray with them. Have them go and make it right if they've sinned against someone else, or respond in the manner that they would not before when possible. Again, if they've done something to a sibling, they need to go and make it right. If they took somebody's toy, they need to go and give it back. If it's possible to recreate that situation to give them a chance to obey, that's helpful in a lot of cases. And then be reconciled in your relationship. And some of the best hugs I get are after disciplining a child. When they know Daddy loves me enough to discipline me, but he's not mad at me. There's grace. There's consequences, but we are still a family. Again, this doesn't need to be this long and lengthy every time, but should be regularly characterized by this tone and conversation. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to be done tonight because we're late. And next week, what I would encourage you is don't make major changes this week. Take some time and read back through some of these verses. Read back through Hebrews 12, Deuteronomy 8. We're going to wrap up discipline next week, and then we're going to spend some time in discussion and try to tie up all of these things that we've been talking about together. So spend some time discussing those questions as a couple maybe this week, and then we will pick up with this next week as we go. And I'm happy to visit with you some more tonight or in the future about these things as well. All right? Let me pray for us. We'll let you get out of here. Father, thanks for this time. Lord, thank you that you are gracious to instruct us as parents. And Lord, in many ways, the instructions you give us is fairly simple, and we're grateful for that. And Lord, we struggle to know how to apply it wisely. And so we're grateful for the time that we can spend together studying your word and discussing it together. We look forward to how we can continue to sharpen one another, refine one another in the days ahead as we think through this. And I just pray that as parents, we would be able to see clearly our own patterns and habits with our kids, how we're provoking them to anger, how we're neglecting to discipline them while there's hope, and tendencies that we have even in how we discipline them that may not fit well with what your word would instruct us to do and the tone that the gospel would direct us towards in discipline. Lord, thank you. Give us wisdom this week. We look forward to our time together next week. In Christ's name, amen.